Our God and our Father in heaven, I am very excited to see each person present here today. Father, you know, some of us, we have very unique pains that we bear, the loss of a child, a loved one, one so young, Lord. You know the different burden that each person here brings, but we're glad today that burdens are lifted at Calvary. We're glad today, Jesus, that you are the liberator, you are the Savior. And whatever our challenges are, whatever, Lord, our burdens are, you can lift them today. And you said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, therefore take my yoke upon you. We thank you so much, Lord, that Corey could make it to church today. Thank you, Lord, for Nanny reaching out to him and for his response to come and to fellowship, Lord, with believers today, that he can be encouraged in the way of Jesus Christ too. And Lord, we know that Corey's presence among us is an encouragement to us as well. We're so glad to see that there are many people, Lord, in the world that love you and want to live for you and just need a simple invitation. Come, let us worship God together, and they will worship God together, Lord. So we thank you for the privilege that Corey is here and for every person present here today. Lord, touch each of our hearts. Send the physical healing we need, emotional healing, spiritual healing, the healing of relationships in the social circle, financial healing, Lord. You know all that we need today. And you know we all need the healing from sin. So wash us today and cleanse us. Speak to us from your word and deliver each of us from our prisons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You know, Elmira had two prisons, right? One of them has since shuttered, right? And so there's only one now, right? That's correct. There's only one prison now. I don't know all the history in this town. I don't know if you've ever had any prison break in this town. And I see some nods. So you know about prison breaks, right? You know about prison breaks in this town. I have a friend that worked in law enforcement. You know, he retired as a police officer. Maybe a couple of hours away from here. And he was telling me that he was actually on duty when there was a big prison break a few years back in one of the bigger prisons, kind of north of where we are here. He was actually there for that. And you know what's happening in Haiti, right? Everybody here is aware of what's happening in Haiti. This guy that was a high-up special ops police officer turned gang member, and, you know, the former gang coalition that is so powerful, they have overrun the security forces. It's Kenya that sends some police officers there and other nations send a few to try to hold things down. And this guy actually went to the prison and let everyone out, including those who are on trial for assassinating the president of Haiti in July of 2021. Prison break. And then perhaps the most well-known prison break story in modern time was the powerful cartel boss of the Sinaloa cartel. This guy was arrested, El Chapo. And his associates were able to make a very sophisticated tunnel over a mile long. And that tunnel ended up under his cell. And there is a video caption of his last moments in that jail. And, you know, they work and have their way of communicating. And he knew when to expect them. And he was a little bit nervous right at the end. But then you watch him walk out of the view of the camera and disappeared. There was a sophisticated tunnel with electricity and everything. And a motorized vehicle built on a line there that whisked him to freedom a mile traveling underground. Today, I'm pretty sure that El Chapo would like to sit in Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church as a free man. Because, you know, he's in Supermax spending a life sentence. Prison break. But those are literal prisons that we have in this society. But there are some other kinds of prisons that are circumstantial. And God wants to give us freedom from each of these prisons. I want to read something to you. Some people are so in their prisons, they don't want to get out. Did you know that? There are people that will be very upset with you if you bring freedom to them. And if we go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, we'll see something here. Jesus came to offer liberation, and you would think everybody would be glad for Jesus, right? Everybody would rejoice for Jesus that he came to offer them liberation. But Luke chapter 4, verses 28, 29, and 30. Not all people will be happy about the kind of prison break, the kind of circumstantial prison break that Jesus wants to free us from. Luke chapter 4, 28 through to 30. So all those in the synagogue, all those in the church, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. Remember, this is Jesus now. But when they heard what Jesus had to say, they were filled with wrath. What else? Verse 29. And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. You and I know that if there's one person who doesn't make mistakes, that's Jesus. And he gave a sermon on a Sabbath morning like this. And what was the response? Let's assassinate him. Let's execute mob justice on him. Let's throw him off the cliff and bring him to a speedy death. We don't want him to change our situation. And this was an early indication of how much Jesus would be received. Early indication. Now, if you go back in the chapter a little bit, you ask, what did Jesus say that was so bad to these people? If you pick up in verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, so he came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, as his practice was, what did he do? He went into the synagogue, he went to church on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. When he was handed the book, it's more like a scroll back then, of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. What else? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What else? To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 49, 8 and 9, and Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 is where Jesus was quoting from. And you think people would rejoice to hear all this good news? He went on to say some more stuff, and the people were enraged at Jesus. I want to say to you, it's no different in 2025. If you're going to truly live for Jesus Christ, you will not necessarily be the darling of the neighborhood. When you stand for Christ, some people tend to think that you're getting in their way. They don't want to hear about Jesus. And people do everything today to avoid church like the church is the plague. People avoid church like if they go to church, they're going to be struck by lightning. People don't want to even walk near the church. They see a church, they walk on the other side of the road. They don't want to get close. Why is that? Why is that? God is offering us a prison break from our circumstances. He wants to change us. I guarantee I was in Jamaica when the most notorious drug lord in Jamaica was being hunted down by the United States Marshals and the Jamaica Defense Force, the JDF. They had to call out the army as well as all the police forces. They were all out in their numbers. I was actually went back to Jamaica to pass during this time. And where they finally arrested him without a shot fired was a mile and a half from my office at that church. I was actually at the office that day when they arrested him. A mile and a half away. This guy, they valued him at $5 billion. He also is serving a 23 years life sentence. I am very glad that he would be excited to sit in church today as a free man. As a matter of fact, his sister is a Seventh-day Adventist living in Toronto. He would be happy to sit right here, right now, and enjoy the freedom of worship, the freedom of life. Again, I'm saying we have wonderful privileges. Let's use it right. Amen? Yeah. He's set to come out in January. And I marked it because the day before my birthday, he's set to come out January 25th, 4 years from now. And he got some time shaved off because of good behavior in prison and good cooperation. So he got some time shaved off his sentence. But do you know that he can walk out of prison and still live in prison? I'm talking the circumstantial prison. And we're going to talk more about that today. So I want to shift the screen a little bit and talk some more about this prison break that we are discussing today, that Jesus wants to free each of us here from prison break. And we must see Jesus as the liberator that he is. God is the great deliverer. He is willing and able to give you a proverbial prison break from every sin and every situation if you are willing. He knows your situation and mine long before we even recognize our situation. And it is true that God longs to free us all. So pray for it. Now, God's arch nemesis and even our enemy, he must be surprised how little we pray. God and the help God provides is always just a prayer away. God loves us so much that he has made much power and sound-mindedness accessible to each of us. So today I want to say to you, accept God's free gifts. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God is giving to us. So today they are telling that there is this great mental health crisis. God has long prepared for this mental health crisis. He's giving us power. He's giving us love. And he's giving us a what kind of a mind? Sound mind. That sounds like good mental health right here. God is offering this for free. Don't have to take out your Visa card or your favorite credit card or debit card. God is offering this for free. Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, we are on a prison planet. And you know, you live in a country that has the most prisoners anywhere on earth. There are more than 2 million prisoners in the United States. No other country on earth has as many prisoners as the United States. And it's a massive business. This prison business in the United States is a massive, massive business. We live in a prison planet. Yet the truth is, this is our Father's world. But there are so many troubles, problems, and addictions that Satan, self-centeredness, and sin have brought on that we have truly turned God's beautiful earth into a prison planet. But there is a liberator by the name of Jesus. You know, his kind of liberation and deliverance is divine. Christ liberates from the penalty of sin. That's what the Bible calls justification. Christ liberates from the power of sin. That's what the Bible calls sanctification. And at his glorious appearing, Christ will liberate from the very presence of sin, and that is called glorification. Now, sin is so exceedingly sinful and dangerous that only God can save us from sin. Amen. God would have to become a human and die for us to pay the price for sin. That to me distinguishes the God of the Bible from any other thing or person that is called God. Because all the gods are so-called gods, they require a sacrifice from their followers. But the God of the Bible sacrifices himself for his followers. You know the text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him Jesus. In giving Jesus, he went to the cross for us. In giving Jesus, he died a second death for us and lived to tell about it. He came back from the dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God would have to become a human and die to pay the price for sin. You know, I once saw a sign that said, sin is very expensive. Who is paying for yours? It's almost tax day, right? The end of the tax season. The deadline is looming. How much money can you pay to get rid of sin? I mean, there is a particular church within Christianity that can hook you up. You pay some money and you get through. But I don't think that amounts to what God is calling for. Amen? No amount of penance you can do can pay for your sin. No amount of indulgences you purchase can atone for your sin. Jesus is the only Savior. Amen? Sin is very expensive. Who is paying for yours? And you know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's Romans 6:23. Now, Jesus said something about the slavery sin brings and how to get freedom from sin. In John 8, beginning in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, most certainly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a what? Is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." Now, only one kind of slavery beats the satanic transatlantic slavery of Africans. And that is the slavery of sin. Jesus was the true liberator in the Emancipation Proclamation. And Jesus is the only liberator from sin. There's no other way. Muhammad can't do it for you. Neither can Buddha or any of the other people that they call upon and ascribe the title of God to. None of them can help any of us out of sin. Jesus is the only liberator. Amen? In John 8:36, Jesus himself said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus said this. We believe the word of God. And in Matthew 1:20-21, but while he thought about these things, this was Joseph, found out that his fiance was already pregnant. And he's like, no. See, in those days, they really followed the principles of God. They believed that two people should first get married before they have sex. They believed that back then. And Joseph was practicing that. And so when he found out that his fiance was pregnant, he was like, "What? That's not right." And so he was thinking, being a righteous man, following righteousness, he was going to privately, you know, disavow the relationship. And while he was thinking about this, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." She didn't go out there having sex before marriage. She didn't go out there cheating. The child in her is a gift by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Sad thing is that many in Christianity today want to be saved in sin. Want to say we are saved, but go on sinning anyhow. It says, Jesus, his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not in their sins, but from their sins. When we give Jesus the power in our lives, when we give Jesus the power over our lives, when we submit our lives to Jesus, he transforms us from being sinners into becoming saints of the living God. Jesus gives us victory over sin. Jesus gives us victory over addiction. Jesus gives us victory that we can live as his disciples here and now. Jesus empowers us, for he will save his people from their sins. And then Acts chapter 4, 10 through 12, verse 12 being the punchline. Peter is preaching here on the day of Pentecost. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. We can pause there today. If you're going to be made whole, Jesus is going to have to do it for you. If you're going to be transformed, Jesus is going to have to do it for you. And by the way, you know that it is the will of God that how many should come to repentance? All. But to come to repentance, we must individually go to Christ and present ourselves to him and say, here am I, Jesus, broken and sinful. Please forgive my sins and make me whole. We have to do that part for ourselves. He has made every provision to forgive our sins and make us whole, but we have to go to him for that. And Peter is preaching and said, this man that was born a cripple, 38 years, he sat by that pool, and today he was made whole. Don't look at us as we did this. No, it says it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By Jesus, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. Bible Christianity is God's only true religion. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is victory in Jesus over every sin and addiction. Jesus breaks every chain. You know, there are addicts to irreverence and idleness today, you know. People are addicted to irreverence. People are addicted to idleness. Some people can't wait to scoff at holy things. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that what? Scoffers will come in the last days. And what do they do? They will continue walking according to their own lusts. What else? They'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. People denying the coming of Christ. And even of a whole segment of Christianity that don't even believe in the coming of Christ anymore. They rather believe in a secret rapture. That's not the coming of Jesus. They believe God's going to whisk us off this earth. And we're not going to face any trial. Well, I tell you, if Project 2025 would have their way, the persecution would start in America before 2025 ends. Because they have some very daring project that they want for America, and that will roll America back 150 years. Project 2025 is not of God. I will tell you publicly from this pulpit, it is from the devil. When you see their agenda, that's exactly building towards the National Sunday Law. They want to make America a theocracy. And America was formed as a republic. They want to make it a theocracy. That is taking America down dangerous paths. And so you have the left pushing the far left ideas. And then now you have the right coming and pushing the far right idea. And America is in this pendulum. And prophecy tells us in Revelation 13 that America, the land of civil and religious liberty, will end up speaking as a dragon, a dictatorship. We are in dangerous times in America. We see what is happening. Scoffers will come in the last days. And they will be asking, where is the promise of Christ coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There's no coming of no Jesus. You have some people who mock and say, there's no sky God. There's no heaven up there. And people deny the very existence of God. But don't fall for it. Continue to fervently love Jesus and serve him and obey him and live for him. Amen? Don't matter the ridicule they heap on you for still believing in Christ. Day is coming when they wish they would have believed too. Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. There's a whole month that they talk about gay pride. That's abomination. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of bread, handouts, and abundance of idleness. There it is. I'm not making this story up. Abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Sins of Sodom. You know, we often only look at the whole LGBTQIA and plus agenda that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. This was there too. And today, human beings are so arrogant that they would actually call sin a pride and have a whole month to celebrate sin. What an age have we come to live? But Jesus did tell us that we were going to come to this time. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days when the Son of Man cometh. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the day when the Son of Man cometh. People are going to call good evil, and they are going to call evil good. They're going to see things upside down. They're going to have things in reverse. Others are addicted to using profane language. And it's terrible. I remember my big culture shock came a few years ago. There's a father and son, I was present, just having a good conversation. And man, they were just swearing right along. I'm talking like a 10-year-old lad. He and his dad were just swearing along. I'm like, oh my, I didn't realize it was this bad. I didn't realize profanity. We're living in that age now. And then, you know, substance use and abuse are on the rise. I don't know if you're aware, but in the United States, no, there are more women alcoholics than men. Women have now surpassed men in alcoholism. And a grave danger lies with people who excuse alcohol. Do you know you have Seventh-day Adventists drinking alcohol and call it social drinking? Seventh-day Adventist. People who are supposed to take the word of God the most seriously. Excuse alcohol drinking as social drinking as if using that term makes it okay. But the occasional use of even one glass of alcohol is an addiction. Those claiming to be disciples of Jesus Christ ought to follow strict principles of temperance. Temperance is moderately using good things and totally discarding the bad things. And alcohol is bad. It is terrible. Alcohol is the devil's drink. On Monday, May 14, I think the day was, 2014, I had gone from seminary at Andrews University for a memorial service for a church brother in Northern California. He was a Vietnam veteran, exposed to Asian Orange, and for the third time he came down with cancer. And this time he decided that if God's going to do a miracle, praise God, but if not, he's not going to go through the treatments he'd done twice before. It's just no good quality of life. So he ended up passing away. And so I was there for that memorial. And so was Kimmy. She came not to look at his body or anything, but just to show her presence in appreciation of him. And then her and her boyfriend went out. And I had gone to visit some old church members. And I passed by this accident. And what I do usually when I see an accident, I just pray for the victims. You know, I don't have to know them. I just pray. And I did that, and a few minutes after passing that site, I realized I had several missed calls. And then one came in and I answered, and it was Kimmy's mother. And she said, Warren, have you heard what happened? I said, no. She says, Kimmy was just in an accident. I said, wow, sorry to hear that. Where was that? And she named the intersection. And I had told her I had just passed there. And it was a bad one. And she said, wow, just what I didn't want to hear. A 40-some-year-old drunk driver. Driving 90 miles per hour. Heading southbound in the northbound lanes of a freeway. Hit their car head on. He died instantly. She was airlifted to the Enloe Hospital in Chico, Northern California. That's right by where those Paradise fires were. And she didn't make it. That's a picture of the wreckage. That's a picture of the wreckage. Her boyfriend survived, but he had so many broken bones all over his body. He was in the hospital for weeks, but he did survive. Darius. And yet people will say, oh, you can't just drink this amount of alcohol. God's children ought to be teetotalers. No amount of alcohol is safe for our consumption. I will never forget Kimmy. I knew her since she was like 11 years old. That weekend when I went there for the memorial, I stayed in their home. She opened the door to let me in. And then that Monday, when we had a memorial, she also died. 19 years old. I think she was just about to make it to her 20th year old if she lived a few more months. Young. Take it out. Alcohol. Never become an addict. And if you're already afflicted with an addiction, there is help because Jesus saves. Amen? Now be careful in your choice of friends and associates. Friends influence friends. Be careful of your friends. Be careful who you choose to be your associates. Be the trendsetter for Jesus. Choose path that Christ approves and are safe for you. It will never be safe to carry out the proposals of any person who has no realization of his or her responsibility and obligation to God. Here's one from Adventist Home, page 47. The pure truth which sanctifies the soul will give you courage to cut yourself loose from the most pleasing acquaintance whom you know does not love and fear God and knows nothing of the principles of true righteousness. You want to make sure that those you're going to have on your inner circle from who you're going to seek advice, make sure they know God, they love God, they fear God, and they follow the principles of true righteousness. Proverbs 23 and verse 20 says, "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. We may always bear with a friend's infirmities and with his ignorance, but never with his vices." The God of the universe loves you and wants you to be a part of his kingdom. He has tremendous amounts of power to deliver you and to save you. There's nothing you need that Jesus does not supply. And if you think you need something that Jesus does not supply, then it is not good for you. If you can't ask Jesus for it, it's not good for you. Beware of sin's many traps. Sin is the foundation for all of this world's problems. And Satan is behind every sin. Yet our very worst enemy is not sin or Satan. Our worst enemy is self-centeredness. The fiercest battle that any of us will ever have to fight is a battle against self. Selfishness. That's the only reason anyone will be lost. It's because of self-centeredness. Jesus wants to save everyone. The devil cannot stop Jesus. Sin cannot stop Jesus. We are the only one who can stop Jesus from saving us. Luke chapter 9, verse 20, and then 23 to 26. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" You know, Peter is the voice captain. Was always the first to speak. Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And that's a nice statement, because the Christ means the anointed of God. Same as saying the Messiah of God. "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me," what's the first thing he should do? "Let him deny himself." What else? "Take up his cross." How often? Daily. And do what else? "Follow me." Take up your cross. Deny self daily and follow after me. This is powerful. We have right here the formula to break any and every addiction and sin. Self-denial. Take up the cross daily and follow after Jesus Christ. Right here is a formula to defeat smoking, drinking, gambling, pornography, Sabbath breaking, stealing, lying, you name it. Jesus has power to break them all. And here it says, this is how we do it. Deny yourself. Flee to Jesus. That's what taking the cross up daily means. Flee to Jesus. As soon as you have a waking moment, consecrate yourself to God. Ask God to sanctify you for the day. Ask God for power for the day. And Jesus has enough power to put away a cigarette. Jesus has enough power to put away that alcoholic bottle. Jesus has enough power for you to skip past that site you like to go to and screen. Jesus has enough power to set you straight and make you whole. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. I can't do the self-denial thing. That's saving your life. I can't give up this bottle. That's saving your life. I can't put away that cigarette. That's saving your life. And whatever sin it is, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Lord, I'll even put my career on hold to follow you. I want your career for me anyway. I want your way, Lord, not mine. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? How much will you sell out heaven for? A promotion on the job? A better 401k? Jesus said, no. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and in the end you'll be destroyed or lost? 26 says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's glory and in the glory of the holy angels. He says, whoever is ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of them too. And that is powerful, then, that testimony you gave. How you reached out. And Corey is here today. How many more Coreys are in town? God's children out there that just need to receive an invitation. Come, let's worship God together. How many more Coreys could fill these empty benches? We need to ask God for a genuine concern for others, a genuine love for souls, that we can motivate others to live for Jesus, to deny self, to take up their cross daily, and to follow Jesus. Last Sabbath, my Spanish professor was in church at Vestal Hills. Today, one of my classmates might be there. Wherever we go, we need to share Jesus. I believe it's good time we stop making excuses and begin to tell people who Jesus is. Amen? If we really believe in Jesus, and if we really believe he's coming soon, we should tell others so. Tell others of Jesus. This is the word of Jesus. He says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Can you imagine some people at the end said, you knew this truth all this time and you never told me? We worked for 15 years together on the same job and you never told me. We went to school for 5 years and you never mentioned a word to me. I saw you all the time next door and you never invited me. Can you imagine people saying that? You never shared the word of God with them? Man, we have so much literature in the literature rack. All it takes to spark some people is one piece of literature. Get them thinking about Jesus. And they ask for the second one. I believe each of us can do more for Christ. What do you say? Amen. Amen. Prison break. God wants to get us out of the circumstances. Whatever they are for each of us, he wants to free us. He wants to deliver us. And he told us how. Bank of America has a bold statement that I like. And they say, what would you like the power to do? And today, Jesus is asking you that question. Jesus is bigger than Bank of America. Jesus is asking, what would you like the power to do? In John chapter 1, 1 through the 3, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. This is how much power Jesus has. That is how much power the Holy Spirit has. That is how much power the Ancient of Days, our God the Father, has. He created the universe and heaven and our world by his word. God made and wants to save us. Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. That's a lot of power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. What else? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And guess what? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As we go making disciples, we can be certain that Christ goes with us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 5 from the English Standard Version. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and through water by the word of God. That's how powerful God's word is. He made the heavens by his word, and he called the earth into existence by his words. God has given you evidence of his almighty power. So the question is, what would you like the power to do? Jesus, the eternal word, made the heavens and the earth and the whole universe by his word. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by what? The word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He spoke it into existence. Now, whatever problems we have, if we go to Jesus, we can make a clean prison break from every addiction. God has enough power and more to save you. In Matthew chapter 8, 5 through to 10, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed. What is it that paralyzes you? My servant is at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus didn't even know the exact diagnosis of this illness. But Jesus said, I will come and do what? Do you think Jesus has power to do this? I will come and heal him. Now, look at what followed. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Wow. I wonder if we would have that humility today. I mean, Christians today are so arrogant. They tell God what to do. I demand this in the name of Jesus. I command this. This guy said, man, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. What humility. Look what he said next. But only speak a word. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. This man shocked Jesus. This man amazed Christ. And if you think I'm making it up, let me show you the next verse. The man continues, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, I told you Jesus was shocked. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. What's another word for marveled? He was shocked. He was surprised. He was amazed. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, not in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I have not found so great faith. This Gentile knew what it meant to trust God. The man says, you don't even have to come to my house because I'm not worthy. Just speak the word and the thing will happen. Speak the word only. Jesus wants to give us the prison break today. Jesus wants to speak that word over our lives today. And in John chapter 15, like verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you. Do we want that cleansing today? Brothers and sisters, Isaiah 42 our key verse was verse 7. I just want to read this as we close out today. Isaiah, we want to open our Bibles. Isaiah chapter 42. And I'll read the first 9 verses for you. This is a prophecy about the servant of the Lord, the coming Messiah. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax will he not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. See, the Messiah wasn't going to come to change the law. As a matter of fact, verse 21 of this same chapter says, my servant is going to magnify the law and make it honorable. Jesus wasn't going to change God's law. Verse 5 says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that which comes and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God wants to do something new in your life today. God wants to renew you and redeem you and rejuvenate you and reconsecrate you today. What do you say to Jesus? Yes and amen. Brothers and sisters, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Are you prepared to meet your Lord? Well, as you prepare, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. It's the hymn number 336. It's a prayer. Let's pray this prayer in song. Hymn number 336. We thank you, O Lord God Almighty, for the time we could spend in your courts today. We thank you for Sabbath school, Lord, the time when we can have a discussional Bible study, where we can reflect, ask questions, share comments. We thank you for the church service, Lord, where we can sing, where we can give some of the finances like in tithe and offering. We thank you, Lord, for the children's story. We thank you for every aspect of worship, special music. We glorify your name that we could worship you in this place today. Oh, Father, you know each of us, and you know that alike we're all sinners. We need your grace, your mercy, your transformation. And we ask that even as we have this closing prayer, we use the word benediction, a blessing. We ask your blessing upon us. Bless us with victory over sin. Bless us with power to be saved from sin and its penalties. Bless us with power, Lord, over sin, that we can live the sanctified lives. Bless us with victory over addictions. And bless us, Lord, with victory over inhibitions to spread the gospel message. We need victory over lethargy. We need victory over holding back. We need victory to go forward and to share the truth, Lord, with as many people as far and as fast as possible. Help us to hasten your coming. Remember the sick and afflicted, those who are absent today, for whatever reason, Lord, touch them where they are and give them a blessing too. Oh Lord, bless all of us. May none of us leave the sacred space the way we came, but may we leave transformed, reformed, restored, rejuvenated, born again. Fill us with your power, Lord, and may we go in your spirit, in your presence, conquering and to conquer. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.